So I come to you this morning. The pastor had asked me several months ago because he had another engagement today to speak, so I had some time to prepare and to hear God and to understand what he wants me to say this morning. There's a lot going on in my spirit concerning the Word of God and truth. But I believe there are two things I come to you today that I hope that you can hear today and that you'll settle in your heart on these couple of things that I'm going to bring forward to you today. And I hope not to keep you long in doing it. The first thing the Holy Spirit told me to say is, you know, as we've been bought and paid for and God has ushered us into his salvation, there's a decision that we need to make as people who have been saved. The decision that we need to make is not that you haven't already made a decision, but I want to bring it to your attention and hope that you can settle it in your heart. That because you have done what the Word of God says to be born again and saved, that you continue your life in the Word of God. You have to settle it for yourself and for your family that for you and your house, you're going to serve the Lord. And in doing so, you're going to not do anything except by and through what you see and understand from the Word of God. There's lots of philosophies and lots of strategies and lots of, you know, home-baked remedies of how a person can live on the earth. But after we become saved, we give ourselves to God and we say that the Word of God is going to be the final authority for us, those who are saved. We're not going to go looking anywhere else for resolution. We're not going to go looking for anywhere else for comfort. We're not going to go looking anywhere else for any kind of decision that we make other than the Word of God. You say, well, there's all kinds of things I can do. There's all kinds of knowledge available. The internet's there, you know, and I can tap whatever kind of source I need in order to get the answers that I need for my life. But as a Christian, I want you to know that you have to make a decision. That the Word of God has come to you, and God has come to you, and he has said, you are mine. And I have written to you personally these truths, let's say. I've written to you a way that I want you to go. So you can't just decide to just hop on any kind of wagon or any kind of train or anybody else's kind of thought pattern or life style. You and I can only accept what Jesus has said. And we have to make that decision. Now, you don't have to make that decision. You can say, oh, I'll be a Christian and do whatever I want. But I want you to know that a life that, with this perspective is the life that Jesus wants you to live. It's the one he gave us. It's the one life that he said, this is how I want you to live. I'm saving you, and I want you to live this way. So we have to make a decision. Am I going to depend on and get the results that the Word of God tells me, the promises that are available to me? Am I going to be determined that in my life I'm going to walk this way? Or am I going to just depend on other things? Depend on other things to direct me. Depend on so-and-so that's talking over here or so-and-so that's talking over there or this book or that book or the internet or whatever. How are you going to carry out this Christian life that God has blessed us with? For those of us who are thinking intelligently, let's hop over in that realm. There's no other way for us but the Word of God, but to serve him and to be blessed by him by understanding the truths that he's written here in the Bible, in the Word of God. Pastor, he talked about a scripture or he read a scripture concerning the Word when he was taught, as he started his series on in Genesis, 2 Timothy 3:16. You guys know what it says. Uh, In the King James, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. The scripture is profitable for our doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for discipline, for correction, it says it right there, for instruction in righteousness, instruction in the right relationship that we have with God. All scripture, the scripture is giving us that. If you have determined that you have this personal relationship with God, then the only way that you're going to get better at it or better in it or even to understand it is through the scripture, it's through the word of God. You and I have to take some time, as 2 Timothy 2:15 says, to study and show ourselves approved of God, understanding the word of God, because we want the results of the word. Why, and I put this question to you, why will you want to be a Christian just to say that I'm a Christian? Don't live the life, don't follow after Jesus, and don't worship him. Now we know and understand that there are people who are just like that. I want to be a part of that group that people around the world consider to be a good group. They're a good group of people. I want to hang around those Christians because people think that they are good. And so since I think I'm good, I'm going to hang around them. And then, of course, live their life any kind of way they want to. But for those of us who considered this point that we're not only called on God to be saved, he said those that call on him, he said he would save them. But we also went one step further, prayed what we consider to be a prayer of salvation, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and then understood that it was to be born again. Born not of the flesh, but of the spirit. So we have taken another step. And the concept of being born and not just created, but to be born into God has a different connotation or a different train of kind of thought that puts us in, a different kind of line of thinking. It's not something that we're not just converted over into Christianity. We've been born into the family of God. And he said it that way for a reason. Because those of us who are born, you can't get away from where you've been born as. Those of us, we're children. Mothers have birthed children into the world. Those children cannot get away from the fact that they were born from their mother. They're going to have certain characteristics and have certain kind of things that they even inherit from their parents, because of that boining from them, of them. Some of it is going to be, they're going to look like them, have some kind of semblance of physical identification. But most of all, they're going to have some kind of attitude, a way about them. Well, I'm saying that in general, because it's to connect us with the fact that we've been born from our parents. We've been born from our mothers. If you sit a mother and daughter beside each other, sometimes you can't even tell them apart. So you know, oh, that they are related and they've been born from that person. This is the same way with God. When he begins to say to us, in order for us to become Christians, he wants us to be born again. So there's some identification that we need to have with our Father, with Jesus, so that when we sit beside him, people can go, oh, yeah, they're related. They are from each other. This is why we cannot deny the word of God, nor can we place it and put it aside. This is why we have to make a determination. We have to make a declaration, a proclamation. We have to declare and proclaim that we will do no other thing but what's in the word before us, what's revealed to us through Jesus in the scriptures, so that we can be more like him. Now, we know that we're coming from this place of darkness, this place of sin, and being born again. So we were in a place already. But then this concept, this phenomenon, this spiritual thing that's happening to us when we become born again separates us from that past. The Bible calls us new creations or new creatures in Christ, where we become more like him than we were like before. But we only get that way, listen to me, we only get that way, he that has an ear, let him hear. We only get that way because we are studying and reading and God has taken us through the words of truth. What person who has had this phenomenon happen to them becoming born again who doesn't want to understand the relationship by which he has become a part of? It is our determination, our hunger, if you want to call it that, our desire that God puts in us to be more like him. We want to be more like our Father, more like Jesus. This is what that born-again spirit does within us. It is why also, you know, Jesus said, because the disciples were confused about him leaving, you know, the earth and all that when the time had come, and they were like, oh, you know, they were like, what are we going to do when he leaves us? And he tells them that I'm going to leave you another comforter. I'm going to give you another something to help you and to lead you and to guide you, somebody there to help do what I'm saying to you now, help stick you to the truth, help put you into the Word of God so that you can lead this life, this born again life that I'm going to give to you. And it's the Holy Spirit. So we can't just set the Holy Spirit on this shelf and say, okay, that because I don't understand who you are and what you do, I'm going to leave you alone. Because he is the one, the Holy Spirit, is the one that gives us the understanding that we receive from the Word of God. We have to. We must not lay him aside. We have to come to some clarification, some determination that we're going to do it the Word's way. Now, Jesus is a person. God is a person. Holy Spirit is a person. He's a greater person than we are, right? He came before us. He knows that we are the lesser. He is the greater, right? So he's not expecting us to all of a sudden understand all that he is. He knows that that's not possible, right? Think about it. He's not going to come and say, okay, Julie, get that Holy Spirit and look at her and watch her for her to get it. That's not how it's done. He is the greater. We are the less. So he already knows everything about you and I, and he knows how to open up our understanding so that we can perceive what he's saying, because he knows we need him. In order for us to grow in the grace that he's given us, we need him. And so he says, but first of all, I'm not going to take away what makes you the creation that I created you as, your free will. I want to enjoin. I want to come along with you. I want to help your decision. I want to be the one to stand there and lead and guide you. Now, I don't want to force you into this understanding. I want to help I want you to come to the realization that you need me. Because our decisions will help us go further with him than our indecisions will. If you don't make a decision that I want to understand, God, help me understand, and you don't go to him with this attitude, how can he then try to pull you into the place where you need to be? People don't understand that, and they reject a lot of what they see and read in the Word of God because it doesn't have intellectual reasoning ability that comes to them all of a sudden. They say, oh, I understand what that word said. Because it's locked up in the spirit of truth. He wants God. You know, he talks about that the truths are hidden, that there are secrets that are hidden that he's given to us as the body. The body of Christ, the Christ, those who are called themselves Christ. There are truths in this word just for you and I. Why? Because if other people had them, they would abuse them. And some people have abused them. The truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So in this morning that you're here and I'm here, and I believe God has his word for you, that you and I have to make this determination. Whenever I come to a place and I need to make a decision and I don't know what I'm going to do, this would be my first stop. This would be my final stop. Now, there's grace for us, God's ability, for when we don't understand and when we have to turn to other things or when we do other things. And as we grow, there's grace for us as we grow. The levels of growth, you know, the answer that you get as a newborn babe to do something, it's not going to be the same answer that you get if you're a full-grown adult, mature, spiritual Christian. They're going to be different. Same as if, you know, a toddler would get a different answer than, you know, a grown-up would get, you know, depending on whatever situation there is. I think you guys can understand that. It's the same with us as Christians. First, newborn babes in Christ won't get the same answer as someone else to as far as doing something. God may give him a different way, a different perspective, or a different leading, a different guidance than what he would another person. And Paul talks about this all through his epistles. But it's all dependent on, too, the word of God. So in speaking about this, if I'm going to make this the final authority, I'm going to go to this word and do the best I can to get what God wants me to have so that I can lead the life that he wants me to live, right? I have to be able to accept this, whatever he says. And he knows the measure of faith in which I have. So he's not going to give me something great and powerful and wieldy, you know, that he knows that I can't do. He's not going to do that. Make me do something like, woo, and I'm looking at him like, what? Dude, he's not going to do that because he's a parent, he's a father, he knows how to lead just like you do your children when they want answers and how to gently move you along step by step. So we should not be afraid to do this, to go to him, because he's going to give us the right answer. And his answers, let me tell you, are better than any other because he is able to perform whatever task that he has asked us to do through us. He's able to do it, you know, regardless of what it is, because he is God. So we have to make this decision. As Christians, we make it. So what connects us to this word, not only the reading of it, right, is our communication with God. Has to be open, right? We have to be talking to God. We have to be praying to God. The Bible says to pray without ceasing, and many have tried to understand what that really means. How can I be at work using my mind and talking at a meeting and still be praying? Because he said pray without ceasing. This is a phenomenon, that a spiritual phenomenon, that a lot of people don't understand. How is it done? We know that it can be done because he tells us to pray without ceasing. In one place he says, it is not my mind that prays, it's my spirit that prays. Which kind of brings into this understanding that, well, maybe I'm not just a single entity. I may look like one person, but maybe there's something else going on with me on the inside that others can't see. What do you mean? Well, if I'm full of the Spirit of God and he's in me, another person, and yet I'm out here talking to you, how can I be doing that and doing something else at the same time? Those are spiritual properties that we don't really understand, but we know that can happen. We know that our mind can be praying and our heart can be praying while we're doing things, taking a shower or washing the dishes or driving down the road. We know that we can be in a prayer state. Those are just some of the things that we know that can happen. But we don't get there unless we are studying in the Word of God. God, teach me how to pray without ceasing. Teach me, period, how to just pray. You know, and there's all types of prayers, supplications and requests and petitions. And you're like, woo, what kind of prayer do you want, God? And I think at first I remember thinking, I'm overwhelmed. God, I'm overwhelmed by all of this. I'm overwhelmed by it. It's too much for me to comprehend. I can't get it all. How am I going to do this? And the answer comes back with, step by step, by my Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. So you and I have to make that decision. First of all, you have to decide whether you want that or not. Because if you don't want it, you won't get it. He's just not going to come and dump a bucket of stuff on you and you just stay there and bad look at it. He can dump it all he wants until you receive what he has for you. Is the only time that you then begin to even get a little inkling about what he's talking about. You have to put yourself in this place, Father, I want to receive whatever it is you have for me. I'm praying daily. I'm reading and studying your word daily to understand it. So you and I have to make a decision. Is this going to be the final authority? Is this the only place where I'm going to go in order to get the results that they're talking about in this word? I need to do that. And I can't be afraid of God. I've got to pray. I got to ask him. I got to talk to him. I got to talk to him about what's in here, because he says he leads and guides us into all truth. And I have to be able to understand. If I don't understand his Spirit, I've got to get into an understanding of his Holy Spirit to lead and guide me. I've got to get there. That was the first thing he talked to me about. Now this other thing, I think everybody can understand what I said there. But this other thing, you're gonna have to get your heart ready for this. We know what Ephesians 6:11 says, right? Pastor went through Ephesians, taught us very well on the principles and the things that were in Ephesians 6. Anybody remember Ephesians 6? Nobody? Yep, there was some, I heard a I think the person with the said, okay, I understand. Do you know what the gist of Ephesians 6 was? Armor of God. I heard somebody say that. But why do we need the armor of God? Chapter 6, verse 11, I'm reading from the King James, says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles. He says you'd be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles. That sounds like, right, that things are going wild, right? He's going to be wild. The wiles of the devil are wild. The wiles of the devil. He said, so you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He didn't say, so you'll be able to recognize the wiles and stay away from them. These wiles are going to come to you, and you've got to stand. On the earth today, we know that we have an enemy. Some call him Satan, some call him the adversary. We know that his name in heaven at one time is Lucifer. But he has a cohort of demons, familiar spirits. We can read further down in this scripture to verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we know that these exist in the world where we live today. And Paul is exhorting us to put on the full armor of God, spiritual armor, so that we can stand against these attacks of the enemy. He didn't say, put on the full armor of God and you will never be attacked. He didn't say, put you on the full armor of God, become a Christian, speak in tongues, be baptized in the Holy Ghost, and you will live a life of bliss without anything happening to you. Did not say that. Did you read that in that scripture somewhere? But somehow that's what we think that's going on. Oh, if I become a Christian, I'm going to be under the umbrella of protection of God, and nobody's going to be affecting me. I'm going to be, whoo, yes, I'm going to be like, oh, yay, dancing on through life. But yet we see here Paul talking to the Ephesians, saying, you need to put on some armor, some spiritual armor, some spiritual things, some understanding about where you are and who you are so that you can stand against wiles of the devil. And I'm sorry to have to say it like that, but we are in a war, a spiritual war, where the enemy, and we are kind of taking territory. We're taking his territory. Where we stand, because we have God in us, everywhere we stand, we are taking the force of God with us. So if we go into a dark place, we are taking the force of God with us. And that darkness has to dispel. But, you know, the enemy is not going to shake from the tree that easily. And that's why he means by the wiles. You and I can be attacked by the enemy. Now, you know, somebody's like, I don't know, can you receive condemnation by that statement? I don't know. You guys tell me. This is the truth. This is the truth. The enemy can't attack. Now, I'm not calling the enemy on you. Now, maybe you might thought that. I'm saying the dog. Curtis said the enemy's coming. Hopefully we are warned already. So that we can put on the armor of God and stand. Paul is warning us for that very reason. Trying to get us, clue us into this spiritual war that we're in and the fight we're in. You know, at the beginning of the year, me and my wife, we've noticed that the attack of the enemy intensified. Not only, and you guys know it too, in our church. People have been attacked, it seems, more and more than before. And we may think, like I read Job. We may think like Job's friends, right? They being attacked because they must be in sin. They're sinning, and they're getting their due. They're getting the darkness has come on them because they got hit in sin in their life. That's what's going on. And that's what his friends basically had said. They said, God is a just God. Why would he attack you for no reason? Well, God doesn't attack anybody. Did you guys read that like that? He didn't attack them. The adversary attacked them. Satan attacked them. But then y'all go, oh, well, but God permitted it. It was already permitted. Why? Because in the earth was where the enemy dwells. He didn't have to say it was permitted. It's already permitted. Remember, he cast them down here and said, you're going to rule over the earth until Jesus came and took over. And now we are ruling as the church, and he is being put down by the forces that are in us. But until we come to understanding of that, then sometimes we miss the boat and we think that we have done something wrong when an attack comes. And I want you to know that not every attack of the devil is because you have sinned or because you have done something wrong or you've been disobedient. Hear that. Paul said he was given a thorn in the flesh because of the multitude of revelations he had given. What was the thorn? Well, I know it doesn't say what it is particularly. In Judges, it talks about the thorns that attacked the children of God were the ites, that came against them. So there were people that were persecuting the children of Israel. So Paul said, take this thorn, take the persecutions of people, what? Persecuted me for the gospel's sake, take that away from me. That's not going away. It's not going to go away for the church as well. We're going to be persecuted because of what we believe. Some of us want to skirt that. We want to, I don't want that persecution. I don't want people to think I'm crazy or dumb or stupid just because I believe in Jesus Christ. They're going to believe that anyway, I want you to know. But we all know that you're not dumb and stupid and crazy. We know that there's a purpose in God's mission that he's given us here on the earth. We think a different way. We act a different way. Why? Because we're in the Word. We're perceiving what God is doing. And we may have to endure some attacks. Key word there is that we do endure. We do endure. We do make it. We do win, if you want to put it that way. Why? Because we do what the Word of God says. Put on the whole armor and we stand like Jesus told us to. So you say, are you getting to the point? To what you wanted to say to us. That's all in preparation for this point that I'm about to make. So, how many of you know that as we walk with God, you know, there are rewards, right? Rewards of walking in his presence, standing in his presence, rewards of having liberty, rewards that we receive from being, you know, a part of the family of God. In Hebrews, Hebrews 11. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. You have to have faith, and then you have to have faith that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. We're diligently seeking him, but are we diligently seeking him because there is a reward? See, I think sometimes we put the cart before the horse, or the horse before the cart, whatever thing way that it's supposed to be. We put it backwards. We want the reward. He says in Matthew, he talks about those who pray in secret. Pray in secret. Go into your closet and pray in secret. And he said, I will then reward you openly, or in the open, I will reward you. So he said, oh, I'm going to go pray so that God can reward me. I'm going to go do whatever these things are because then God will reward me. I'm going to go do praise and worship because God then will reward me. I'm going to walk and stand up right before God because then he will reward me. Job was sort of like that. He was a righteous man. I'm doing all these right things so that I can then get all the rewards of being righteous, of being made righteous. Can you see how your thinking can get? I'm going to pray and ask God for healing so I can be healed. I'm going to pray for healing. If we're not careful, we're going to get ourselves mixed up in our intention and in our motives that's going to cause us to be at odds with God. So this is the point I want to come to. If you're doing all of that stuff, if you're doing things sort of for the reward, then you have a wrong motive. You say, why do you say that? Because as children of God, we are already motivated to do the thing. We do the things because of who we are, not because of what we get. It's important. You see Jesus walking, you know, doing mighty signs and wonders throughout the time that he was here. And he says specifically, I'm hearing what the Father is saying to me, and I'm doing what I see the Father say to do. His motive is to follow after God. He's being who he is, a son of God. And we have to be careful that we're not doing the thing, oh, I messed up, the attack of the enemy came, oh, I better go to church, oh, I better start praying, oh, I need to read my word, oh, I better start up my devotional again, because the attack came and something's wrong. Watch your motive, because you and I are born again children of God. We're going to do the things of God regardless of whether we're being attacked or regardless of whether we're in a good place and we have blessings all around us. We're going to be steady doing the things of God because it's who we are. Come on. Not because I get, oh, I got to do this because I got to get to heaven. If I don't do this, I might not get to heaven, so I better do this so that I can be with Jesus. Watch your step. You workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Iniquity. You guys know what iniquity is? We call it sin, yes. Definition for iniquity. I heard a lady give this definition, and I thought, this is what iniquity is. Iniquity is doing something that you are not authorized to do. I'm gonna go pray for so-and-so. Well, praying is good. Yes, it is. But if God didn't say for you to go pray, then you are operating in iniquity. Authorized. God authorizes people to do things. And generally, you can pray for just about anybody, but I just use that as an example. But we have to be careful, right? I was reading in James, you know, I'll just say I get a little confused when sometimes I read some scriptures and I was like, God, what are you talking about? And this is what I'll say. I said, God, what are you talking about? In James, where he was talking about works without faith and faith works without faith is dead. Faith without works is dead. And if you show me your faith without any works, and I'll show you my faith by my works, right? You know, it's like trying to understand what is going on. And it's the very thing he said. Your faith is going to produce works. It's going to produce good works. It's going to produce things that you do that are good. Your faith is going to produce those. They're going to come out of you because of who you are. You can walk around and hold your hands up and wave all you want and say, I have faith. But until the doing of it comes out, the manifestation, the results of you studying in the Word of God, they won't come. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I'm connecting the two together now. It's because the doing of the Word of God that you would perceive, produces out of you those things, those good things. They come because you understand who you are. I'm a child of the Most High God. Therefore, I'm going to do so and so and so. I'll make this one point at the end here. You know, God said to the children of Israel a whole bunch of stuff. He wanted them to be so well. He was their God. He wanted to show them how strong and mighty he was. And he wanted to go to them and deliver them. They'd been in captive for 430 years in Egypt. Remember that? And he sent Moses to set them free and to get them out of that bondage. And it was his choice to do that. But because it was his choice, he wanted them to turn to him with adoration and gratitude and appreciation. And they didn't. They wandered in the wilderness because of their unbelief about him. Sometimes God comes to us And he is desiring from us, and we sit back and don't give him what he so justly and rightly deserves. He told him what he wanted. He told Pharaoh, "Let my people go so that they can go out and worship me." This is what Moses told Pharaoh, and he proclaimed it to the Israelites so that they could worship me. So the purpose of why they were being redeemed was so that they would worship God. He knew that. He gave them the Ten Commandments to even further to solidify that even more, some details you might want to call it. But the main interest was so that they would worship me. I'm calling you out so that you will worship me. Now, they didn't go to God. They didn't cry out, "Oh, God, God, deliver us from these evil people over here, and we will worship you." They didn't. That wasn't their desire. That wasn't something they said. It was something that they had to be, what, taught and built into them. By God saying, "I am delivering you, so worship me." And sometimes we miss what God is doing because we don't understand what he said. It's very simple. They could have laid down and worshiped him, or they eventually did worship him. But all through their conquests and all through the things they were doing back there in those the Bible days, through the ites, you know, and all the judges and all that kind of stuff, that was his only, "Come worship me." They wouldn't worship him. Here comes the ites. They capture them for 10, 20 years, and God comes and he delivers them. He delivers them back into a place, and he says, "Worship me." They worship him for a little while, and then they go back into the sin again, and they do all over again. Why? Why? First of all, they weren't born again. In them wasn't the Spirit germinating within them. The Holy Spirit that recreated them, living on the inside of them, saying, "Worship me, worship me." When you wake up in the morning, you hear him say, "Worship me." When you lay down at night, you hear him say, "Worship me." When you go to the Word of God, you hear him say, "Worship me, worship me, worship me, worship me." They didn't have that. They had these judges from the outside of them coming, and then God delivered them from their oppression, from the attacks of the enemy, from killing their children. God delivering them in all sorts of miraculous ways. They saw that with their eyes. And they lived like that for a time and spell. But then when things relaxed, and when times were when they weren't being attacked, when the strategy and the wiles of the devils wasn't coming on them, they went back and they served the devil. They became nonchalant. They became apathetic. They became, "Well, we don't have to worship God. We can just stand and do nothing. We don't have to sing. We don't have to raise our hands. We can just wander." Why? Because they're getting this into this place and the enemy is stealing them, right? I'm in a place of peace. I'm a prosperity. My children are blessed, and you know, I got enough food to eat, and I got shelter for my own, and I can give over here and give over there, and I'm just in the place of just comfort. And we forget who we are, whose we are. And all he's saying is, "Worship me. Worship me. Find out more about me. Come to a place about me. Get obedient to me." And we lay them aside. "Oh, I don't have to do that now because, you know, everything's okay. Ha, I can breathe. I'm not in the hospital. I'm not sick. You know, my children are not sick. They're all doing well. My cars are working. And my grass is cut. And, you know, I'm able to eat. And everything's good." And we forget, like they did, that God is saying, "Worship me. Worship me." So the strategy of the enemy, his wiles come, and we're like, "What is he coming for?" He coming because he attacks, especially if you're low on your armor. If you haven't been in the Word, he'll attack it in. He'll attack you when you're strong. But we get these perspectives, and we get confused. God, why am I confused? You know, something happens to us, and I remember brother does this. Why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? I need to go. And he goes to pray, and he says, I can't hear nothing. I can't hear nothing from God. And I'm like, why you can't hear nothing? Wait a minute. wait a minute. The attack comes, and you can't hear nothing. Now, why are you not attacked? What are you doing? Are you solidifying the truth that the Bible tells us about? Are you walking in who you are? Are you being obedient to God? Are you doing? No, that only comes when you attack comes. Oh, I got to hunker down. I got to, I can't hear God. What? All the bombs are bombed. You know, the thing, the fire is going on, and you hunker. Of course you can't hear. And, you know, it sounds comical, I know, and I know sometimes it's hard to understand, but listen. Make the Word of God the last decision, the final decision, not the final authority in your life, so that you can be doing who you are. Doing who you are. You don't want to get caught on the other side of being workers of iniquity, and God says, depart from me. You healed in my name, you prophesied in my name, you've done all these things for the reward, but you didn't know God. And God didn't know you. Amen? So I had a few more scriptures, but I won't go there. But those are the two things that God told me to kind of share with you today. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you coming out this morning. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. And I hope your children are blessing you today in some kind of way or fashion.